The time is 9:03 a.m. on July 21st, 2025, and I am convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out purposes of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on July 14th, 2025, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as 3 out of the 4 members of the committee have been confirmed to be present by video or audio conference. Also in attendance are Executive Director Bart Bowles, General Counsel Dan Price, and Association employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty. And from the Department of Insurance is Sean Martin. So, item one on the agenda is consideration and possible action on consent agenda items. So, hopefully, everyone has been able to review the minutes from the January 14th, 2025 committee meeting. Does anybody have any changes or edits to the minutes? If not, then I'd entertain the motion that is there to adopt the minutes. Someone like to move the resolution to adopt the minutes?
Went too fast. Excuse me, I went too fast, went past the resolution. I apologize.
There's the resolution.
This is Jim Lewis, so moved.
Jim Harrison, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Minutes are adopted. Item two is consideration and possible action on the non-salary benefits provided to the association's employees, including insurance plan renewals. Bart, you want to discuss that?
Yes. Every July we do review with Personnel Committee the various non-salary benefits that we provide to employees. Most important are the insurance plans available to employees. And it's always a little bit of a struggle to get the renewals in time, but we usually get them around the July 15th or 16th, and we have an October 1st renewal each year. So there was a change this year proposed from health in, from for our health insurance plan from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, and it ended up they were asking for not only an 18, a little over 18%, it's 18.07% increase in the premium, but they're increasing the individual deductibles both in and out of network and the out-of-pocket maximum, as long and in addition to the co-pays for televisits, doctor visits, and specialty visits. So we did, and I did prepare or sent the summary confidentially to the committee. We do get other quotes from Health Benefits 360, our broker, on this. There was another plan that had only a 16% higher premium than we're paying now, a little bit better on the deductibles and co-pays, but as we've seen in the past, anytime when we look at renewals or replacement coverage sounds great the first year. We'll get a little better deal than the incumbent company, but when renewal hits us in the same year, it goes through the roof. So unless there is a substantial, usually over a 30% change in rates or a substantial change in the benefit structure, I normally don't recommend any change, and it's also just a hassle for the employees and everyone. So, with these increases, the increase in premium and some of these benefit changes, I'm not recommending any change to the health insurance benefit plan. But questions from the committee? Then I'll continue. As part of the benefits offered to employees, we do have a health reimbursement arrangement. And when this was designed, it was intended to be to work in conjunction with our high deductible health insurance plan. So with a we had a $1,500 deductible. Well, we had a health reimbursement arrangement annually of $1,500, but an employee could carry over 50% of that unused amount. 50, so $750 could be carried over each year and accumulate up to a maximum of $4,500. And that $4,500 is really intended, periodically every few years, someone may have a more significant procedure performed and their out-of-pocket cost will be a little higher. This is to absorb part of those costs. Right now, our health reimbursement arrangement is $1,500 annually. The maximum that can be accrued is $4,500. I am recommending that we do a revision to the health reimbursement arrangement to increase the annual amount to $1,750 to match the individual in-network deductible, and like to consider taking the maximum accrual balance to $6,750, which is the individual out-of-pocket maximum. So that is my recommendation, but I'd like to hear from the committee on this.
Thoughts from the committee? It seems reasonable to me, reflecting the increases in the potential out-of-pocket costs from the changes in the plan. So it seems reasonable to me.
And real quick, I did, thanks to Jarrett, like I did it, Jarrett did it. See if I get the right thing on screen. Here is a proposed amendment for you to consider. And it does increase the annual reimbursement amount to $1,750. One half of that, which is $875, could be carried over annually. And it has the maximum accrual of $6,750.
Jim Harrison, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say it sounded reasonable to me. And if you need a motion to move the resolution at this point, I'd be happy to do so.
Okay,
They're so
Jim
moved.
Harrison makes motion. Is there a second?
Second by Jim Lewis.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone. I'll continue quickly. The dental insurance plan, the long-term disability insurance plan, group term life, and AD&D. Those three are described in your materials. They're on screen right now. There is no change in premium rate. This 2 years ago when we got our last updated premium from Lincoln National, they told us that rate would be guaranteed through September 30th, 2026. So there may be a change next year, but there are no changes this year, either in benefits or in premium. The 401k matching investing schedule described in materials, that has not changed. It's been in as described in materials since 2016. The 457b retirement plan that's there for me has not changed. It's the same that's been in place since 2018. And then we talk about the sick leave, vacation leave, and personal leave that employees accrue and can carry over each year. We provide 12 days of holiday, 12 paid holidays each year, and of course we provide employee parking. That's kind of the summary of the benefit structure. So the only change from prior year was the health insurance plan. Any questions?
Seeing none, we'll move on to item three, consideration and possible action on various elements of the executive employment and deferred compensation contract for the executive director.
Okay, this is a normal reporting item just to let the committee know where things stand. Usually there are some, what I call, there's some automatic aspects to the executive employment and deferred compensation contract, and there are discretionary elements as well. The first automatic element is the cost of living adjustment. Cost of living adjustment is based on the Social Security Administration's COLA for the coming year. That's usually published October 13th of each year, and it is the COLA will take effect on January 1 of the coming year. So this is something that will occur before the committee meets again. So after that notification comes out on the 13th, if there is an adjustment, I will send an email to the committee advising them what that adjustment is and telling them that I will make that change or ask Jared to make that change and my base compensation as of January 1st, 2026. It is a little early because that COLA they put out is based on the July, August, and September metrics that are measured by the Social Security Administration. But looking at those same metrics for the current months, there's a projection that the COLA for 2026 will be 2.6 to 2.7%, very modest. The next element is, or work that'll have to be done, the annual performance evaluation for me will be distributed by council in November. And after Dan distributes that, he will provide the time frame for when he would like the responses back from the individual committee members. Either Dan or Committee Chair Summer, depending on who wants to do it, will assemble a compilation of those remarks and comments, and then it will be presented to the board. It'll be distributed, excuse me, to the committee in advance of its January meeting, and then discussed at the January 20th, 2026 meeting. The discretionary aspect that will be actually addressed during the January 20th, 2026 meeting for recommendation to the board, if there is something the board like the committee would like to take action, is the discretionary contribution to the 457B plan. The EEDCC automatically has an $18,500 contribution, but is discretionary that the committee can recommend a contribution up to the limit permitted by the IRS. This year for 2025, the limit was $23,500, and we do not know yet what that limit will be for 2026. That usually comes out very close to when the Social Security Administration puts out the COLA, so it'll probably be in October, sometime it's early November. And the only other aspect is in January, on the into January 20th, 2026 meeting, I usually update the board on any other contract activities I'm performing. And I hate to say it, I haven't done any. I've been too busy on Guaranty Association work to do any extra contract work. I have had been approached to do some work, but there just hasn't been any time. So I've had to decline those offers. And the final aspect that's not in here, but I'll just mention it. The final aspect of the EEDCC is the longevity payment. There is not a longevity payment in 25 or 26. The next longevity payment would be scheduled for January of 2027, right after I leave the association. So we will be discussing that next July. And that is the report on the Executive Employment Deferred Compensation Contract, Chair
All right.
Summer.
Comments or questions? Seeing none. Item four, consideration of possible action on the executive director succession plan.
Okay, I don't want to get out in front of the Executive Director Search Committee. We'll be meeting on Monday, but just give you a quick update on the schedule of what's being targeted right now. So the solicitation package was distributed on May 16th. It was published in the Nolga Wire. And in there, it just mentions the process where the materials for the solicitation package can be obtained, that questions could be directed to General Counsel Price and gave his contact information and stated that the deadline for applicants would be July 15th, 2025. And that Nolga Wire is distributed to all the Guaranty Association administrators, all the Guaranty Association boards of directors, and a number of regulators that are on the list. It's a very wide distribution. I also sent that to the American Council of Life Insurers, the ACLI. I do not know how they've distributed it to their members, but it was shared with them. And then I posted it on the IAIR website for National Association of Insurance Receivers, and I posted it on my LinkedIn feed. I did not post it on the job posting portion of LinkedIn, just on my feed. But I've had a little over 2,000 impressions and about 450 follow-ups on LinkedIn from that. So, as I mentioned, the deadline was July 15th. There were applications or applicants received. I won't mention how many or anything further on them until after the committee meets next Monday. But assuming the committee wants to move forward, and you have to also realize the committee may look at the bank of candidates and say they're not comfortable with that bank, and they might recommend to the board an expanded search, an extended search, something else. I won't know until the committee meets, but assuming they decide they have a bank of candidates that is adequate and somewhere in there is someone that's qualified, here would be the timeline that after the report to the board, there would be evaluation of the applicants. Interview questions will be developed, screening and background checks will be performed, and then interviews and follow-up interviews will be conducted. And that would all go on through September. October through December, there'd be a report to the board and possibly a decision from the board to make an offer. If so, there'd be onboarding and a transition period developed based on the qualifications and experience of the selected applicant. And then 2026, any final negotiations and engagement that might be necessary, and then allow a new executive director the period that they feel would be they would be comfortable and would be adequate to give them a good transition into the position. So we've allowed all of 2026. The person, based on their experience and skill set, may not need that long. But that is the strategy and the plan. Questions?
Any questions? I don't think so. Sounds good.
I was to ask Dan, is there anything, Dan, that I might have skipped over that you've been involved in this process?
No, I think that covers it without getting into the details for Monday's meeting.
Okay. And
Okay.
I think, David, we could probably have a very quick executive session.
Okay. So the time is 9:21 on July 21, 2025, and I'm recessing the regular meeting of the Personnel Committee meeting of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the committee to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act.
Topping when you're ready to tell.
The time is 9:30 a.m. on July 21, 2025. The executive session of the Personnel Committee of the meeting has concluded, and I'm reconvening the regular session of the Personnel Committee meeting pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. So, item six is consideration and possible action on items discussed in executive session. I don't believe we have anything. We do not. So, Bart, you want to move on to
Yes.
Section seven, consideration and possible action on the committee's charter. So annually, we review the charter to see if any changes needed to be made. And so, does anyone have any proposed changes to the charter?
Well, David, I will report Dan Price did a quick review of this, and he found in section two, if you'll let me flip screens real quick, I did a black line of a suggestion that Dan had. Here we go. So this is under section two. We had a still reference to board council and association council. And we've revised that. So this section reads, unless other arrangements are made, the personnel committee requires association management and the association's general counsel to attend all meetings of the committee. It was just a cleanup in how we reference our current structure of legal counsel.
Okay. Does that take a
It will take
Motion.
a
Do you have a
recommendation from the committee
proposed?
to the board.
I move that we make the changes shown on the screen.
I'll second. Does that encompass all of them, Bart or
That was
Dan?
the only place.
Okay. All right. I'll
Okay.
second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, moving back.
Right, then consideration and possible action regarding the committee's 2025 calendar of activities and next meeting date, item 8. The next proposed meeting is on January 20th, 2026 at 9 a.m. Any comments or concerns about that? Hearing none. Bart, anything else you need?
Chair Summer, I have nothing else. A very efficient meeting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the time is 9:33 a.m. on July 21, 2025, and the meeting of the Personnel Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association that has been held pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act is adjourned.
All right. Thank you,
Thank
everyone.
you.